down quite a few men here, and we are taking the opportunity at 3 p.m. Yesterday and today to replay a couple of the interviews we did with some of the big candidates. And today we're going to bring you Mike Kehoe. We're sitting right here with you. Be right back with audio after this. So, Mike, I want to do a little different interview with you than what I've heard. Not that anyone's doing bad interviews. And we'll get to, crime in China and things like that. But let's get to know you. So I grew up in the country and then moved to the city. I know you're kind of the opposite. You know, you started in North City, North County, and then you ended up on a ranch. Just tell me about your being a country boy and a city boy.
Well, you're right. I started out in North St. Louis City, Walnut Park and Baden area. For your listeners, I'm sure who know where that is. My dad left when I was a year old. My mom raised six kids by herself. I was the youngest of those six. And we had very basic childhood. We worked hard to support my mother. And that's just, kind of how our life was. Got a big break washing cars for our name, your listeners. And you will be familiar with Dave Sinclair in the South County area, and took a public bus down to start working for Mr. Sinclair, and that's how I got my start in business. He became kind of my mentor and father figure, and was really I'm here because of him, but he helped a lot of people out that nobody realized. Mr. Sinclair was big into agriculture at his farm down in Phelps County, and when you wash cars for Dave, you did that one day, the next day he went and fixed fence. So I learned about rural Missouri and the qualities of life that was there, and I quite honestly fell in love with agriculture. So, when we wanted to play Dave in North St. Louis, we didn't have grass. And folks will laugh if they're from those neighborhoods. We played in undeveloped parts of Calvary Cemetery. So we went a long way from playing in a cemetery to a farm field. But he got me into agriculture. He helped me get into a manufacturing business in Lynn, Missouri, still a very successful emergency vehicle manufacturer down in Osage County. Ultimately helped me acquire the Ford dealership in Jefferson City. My wife and I ran that for 20 years. So 35 years in small business in ag and retail sales and manufacturing. That's pretty much been my life more than politics by a long stretch.
I love it. I love to see, like, I grew up working on local farms and picking watermelon and throwing pumpkins. And I love to see someone who knows what it's like to have little dirt under their nails. Mike, your mom must have been quite a lady.
Yeah, she's my hero. She was our mom and our dad. And so she got gifts two times a year three times counting her birthday. She got Father's Day and Mother's Day gifts. She was a very devout Christian woman. She went to church at 6 a.m. every morning of her life and then came back and got us ready to go to school. And she just was my hero, obviously, my brother, my sisters as well. Her and Mr. Sinclair were friends from childhood. So that was our connection to the Sinclair family. And it was just a great, very humble beginning. But I tell people all the time when we complain to my mother about what we didn't have, her answer was always simple: pray harder, work harder. And that, if you do that, everything will be all right. And so we overcomplicate success some days, Dave, but yeah, it really goes down to the basics.
Mike, you got a lot of attention yesterday and certainly got our attention here on the show when you talked kind of the state of politics. I don't think it's a Missouri thing by any stretch of the imagination. It's happening on local levels, on the state level, and certainly on the national level with what you call the hate politics. And if you'd like to expand on that thought a little bit, we'd love to hear you, because we talk a lot about that here on the show.
Well, it's the other thing you hear a lot of people say, it's the politics of personal destruction. In other words, it's unfortunately the discourse in our country and sometimes in the state has gotten to where people can't talk about the issues and agree or disagree on those issues. They have to be personally combative to somebody. And I travel the state extensively. I have through the lieutenant governor's role. I have through my small business role, through my business and agriculture. And that's what Missourians want. I mean, certainly there's a certain sector that the folks who like being a bomb thrower, but that's not who I am. And I really believe Missourians identify with folks who are like me, who's, know what hard times are and have worked to improve on hard times, and then build relationships with people within government. Even if they don't agree with you, doesn't mean you have to hate them. I mean, Ronald Reagan always said, if you agree with somebody 80% of the time, it doesn't make 20% of them your enemy.
Right.
The way I run, I'm very passionate. That doesn't mean I'm weak. It means that I know how to fight. I know what strength means, and I know what it means to move a situation forward in a business or in a company, and it takes people to work together to get there.
Lieutenant Governor Kehoe, you've received the endorsement of Governor Mike Parson. I'm wondering, has he given you any advice for this race, or maybe you could share what you've learned from working with him as long as you have?
Well, sure. I've known Mike Parson actually almost before politics, right when he came into the House, and I was working for the state as a volunteer with the Missouri Highway Commission. I'm honored to have his endorsement. We've also had 25 other endorsements from statewide organizations, from about every public safety group, every agriculture group, most business groups who have said, we think Mike's got the right, you know, direction to lead the state. And, you know, Governor Parson would be the type of person that even when he would make decisions and we didn't always agree with each other on the direction, he's one of those folks that says, let's learn from what we've done and let's figure out how to do it better the next time we go forward. I can tell you, Mike Parson, whether you agree with his decisions or didn't, always in his heart did what he thought was the best thing for Missourians. And that's certainly the direction that we want to go and continue to build on that so we can move Missouri forward.
We're talking to Lieutenant Governor, possibly next Governor of Missouri, Mike Kehoe here. So, Mike, a lot of people think of Republicans as all about companies, all about corporations, all about money, all about tax breaks to the rich. Being a guy who knows how to get their hands dirty, talk about the middle class and what it means to you.
Well, I think the Republican Party represents the working class now more than it ever has because, quite frankly, the Democratic Party has pretty much moved into socialism, whereas if you have something, we're going to take it from you and give it to people who don't have it. Republican Party very much works. You're seeing the Republican Party talk about workforce development, how to get people through career technical education, what levels of training do we need to do to get people jobs and working, because that's how the economy works. If we get those pieces of the puzzle right in Missouri, and I believe we have the recipe to do that, where we work with the companies that are looking for various skills, and then we offer those skills through means across the state, we really can provide opportunities for Missourians just like my mother, my brother, and my sisters have.
So, obviously, everyone has seen your ads and Bill's ads and Mr. Ashcroft's ads, and each one of them will talk about China. And I have to admit that this one's a little bit vague to me. Being a landowner and being someone, a farmer, a rancher, talk to me about what it means with China buying up land and why that's such a bad thing and how we stop it.
Well, first of all, let me say that I am 100% against enemies of our country owning land. China is certainly one of those. And as a landowner and a cattle producer, I'm not sure anybody in this state wants an enemy of our country. And there's not many, Russia, China, Venezuela, et cetera, to be owning land next to you as a neighbor. And so that's, I think, is common sense. I believe that's common sense. But we have other people in this race who say zero foreign ownership. And I would caution your listeners to know what that understands. Bayer has 4,800 employees in Creve Coeur, Missouri, and they're owned by a German company. That means they're gone. I say you continue to work with your ally countries in Germany, obviously Germany, Israel, Japan, Ireland, et cetera, that we worked very hard to bring in as partners here, over $17 billion of investment. Our allied countries should be our friends. We should be welcome to invest. They can invest in us. We can invest in them. So we have to be really careful how we put that conversation. But there's universal agreement, I believe, to most landowners and people I talk to, that enemies of our country should not be able to own, not just on the backs of farmers and farmland, should own any business here in the state of Missouri.
So, Mike, I heard you on the other morning on Total Information AM with Megan Lynch and Tom Ackerman, and they asked you what they ask everyone, what's the number one issue facing Missouri? And it surprised me. I know it's a big issue, but your number one was crime. Can you flesh that out for us?
I would sure love to, because we have several different things that we want to get done on our platform, but we can't get to items number 2, 3, and 4 until we have community safety back. We've seen this across the state, and it's not just an urban problem. It's a rural and an urban problem, where we need to make sure we're backing the men and ladies who are protecting our communities. We don't need to defund the blue. We need to make sure they have the resources, and specifically in the St. Louis area, the personnel to be able to keep our communities safe. Look, I have walked the areas of North St. Louis through the cities. I've knocked on doors and talked to people. They want to be able to go out and paint their handrail without being shot at. They want community policing back. They want more cops on the street. They want to bring their community safe. If we can get community safety in line and get resources to this law enforcement community across the state, then we can start talking about education opportunities, economic development, and agriculture opportunities.
And I thought your answer about getting rid of the state tax was really interesting. I hadn't thought of it from that perspective, but basically we need to be able to compete with these other states or the monkey's dead.
Well, that's exactly right. The state's income tax is the largest tax your listeners and any Missourians pay. We have done a really good job in the last several years with help when he was in the Missouri Senate from somebody like U.S. Senator Eric Schmidt, who led sweeping legislation on tax reform. Governor Parson and Senator Lincoln Huff from Springfield have added to that. And we've taken our state tax rate down from 6% to now 4.6%. The governor just announced the other day an additional trigger to lower that another tenth of a percent. We need to get that all the way down to zero. People keep saying, well, you need to be like Florida and Tennessee and Texas. Well, they're opening conversation when they go into that boardroom to that company they want to expand here that's already here, or maybe lure somebody here. Those other states' first statement is, we don't have income tax. And it's very hard to compete if you don't have that. And the bonus to this is, and this is my honest belief as a conservative, putting money back in Missourians' pockets is going to be better every single time than letting some bureaucrat spend it. Missourians will put that money into the economy and invest it, and the ripple effect will run through the economy way better than the government ever will do. So it's a double whammy. It gives more money to the average hardworking Missourian. It also allows us to have a tool to talk to companies about expansion and attraction.
So that is Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe. Everyone should vote regardless of who you vote for. Mike, it's a pleasure. I'll have you on either way.
All right, buddy. It's a pleasure to have you on again. Me on with you again. Thank you so much.
You bet. GS 324. We have Dave Murray coming up at 3:30. We have the priest and rabbi going to be here at 4 p.m. I'm off tomorrow. Who's cobbled together for tomorrow?
Boy, we have cobbled something together. So it was going to be Hancock and Kelly. Michael's not available, so it's just going to be me and John. So that'll be a bunch of fun.
Mm-hmm. But John's been the MVP this week.
He's been absolutely killing it, as he always does. We'll be doing, you know, fun with Chris Ranji, as always, of course. Mm-hmm. It sounds like Sue's going to come in. We're going to talk to the great Jim Talent about some stuff.
Quite a show.
I think Mr. John Hancock Jr. is going to join us with some NFL insider tips.
Hmm.
Yeah, good time. We'll talk to Bernie like we always do on Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
Should be pretty good. I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be
and
fun.
No Wheeler.
And no Wheeler. So no Wheeler to when, you know, Johnny Jr. says, like, well, I think this team's pretty good. No Wheeler to go,
So what you're saying is?
No, they're not. No, they're not good. And then you go have to go, oh, okay. Well, I guess not. Never mind.
Like, just pardon him. Don't.
Yeah, literally.
Pay no attention.
He just has to say that. It's okay.
So tonight's Magic the Gathering?
Yeah, big Magic night tonight. It's been my new weekly thing. I've been really enjoying it.
You've been building toward a win.
Yes, I have. I tonight could be the night, but probably not because I'm tired.
Maybe you'll play better when you're tired.
That's going to be my excuse when I completely flop out of it tonight. But no, it's been fun. I've been trying to get out more and do more things, and so has the old wife. She's taking dance lessons now. She used to dance.
You two are having an early midlife crisis.
That is true. We are having the fabled quarter life. Well, for me, it's probably midlife.
Well, when one of you starts sleeping in a hammock, that's the way it goes.
But she used to dance when she was like younger, and then she taught dance for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got out of it for
she
a long time.
She and I have
time.
A lot in common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you used
we
to
should
do,
compare notes.
You used to do salsa and flamenco, if I recall correctly.
I was mostly tap.
Mostly tap?
And
okay.
A little modern.
The modern is what incorporated the karate, right?
Yes.
The karate in the
yes.
basement.
Yes.
But no, it's been fun like getting out more and trying to do more stuff and meeting people, even though they're all way, way smarter than me because they're all like, a bunch of them are like data scientists at the Federal Reserve.
Sure.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. I can count to 20 if I'm allowed to use fingers and toes.
Don't let them, I mean, the one thing you can't be afraid of is someone scaring you into thinking you're not a nerd.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
If there's one thing you know, if there's one thing you got in the lockbox.
I am a hopeless dork, and they will never
take
that
from me. Don't let them take that away.
They will never take that
from me. Like, this guy's way too cool to be good at Magic the Gathering.
I have a legal question for you.
Okay.
So I'm looking at my Throwback Thursdays here, right? And I'm seeing Lil' Kim in 2005 started a one-year prison sentence for perjuring herself in her friend's shooting trial. Have you seen people perjure themselves?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I know you did divorce stuff for a long time. Can you perjure yourself in a, yeah, in like a divorce trial?
Yeah, you can perjure yourself
in
anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think people lie on the stand all the time.
Ooh, I love that. Is it like super awkward?
I've only seen people called on it a couple of times, but just, you know.
Yeah. So it has to be, it's just if they can prove that you did it.
I mean, like when you believe your client and your client can fool you. But, you know, there are times when you know they're telling the truth or you have the facts and the person gets up on the stand and they just start lying.
Right.
One time a guy during a should he have a restraining order against him, and he was really believable. He's like, "Your Honor, I don't know where this is coming from. My wife is making all this up. I've never laid a hand on her." And then when he walked out, he hit the doors like an old-timey saloon door, and it swung back.
Ooh.
And he goes, "I just lied my ass off." And the judge heard him. Called him in, put him in jail. Guys, DGS 334. We have Priest and the Rabbi coming up at 4 p.m. I hear they're in a big fight, so this should be good.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're really going at it.
Tension.
Something about Jesus. Dave liked that one. Dave Murray is with us.
I find it amusing that a priest and a rabbi are arguing and having a problem.
Yes.
Shouldn't they be able to come together very quickly?
Yeah, they usually arm wrestle it out. Although they leg wrestle, so it's a little bit weirder. Ryan Wiggins is here from 97.1. We're down a couple of men. Yeah, it's Wig.
We're Wigging out.
We're Wigging out.
Hi, Dave.
Hi there.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Dave.
Good. Question for
hello,
you.
Hello, hello. Yes.
You were just in Japan.
Yeah.
Did you run into Rachel?
Well, we weren't there at the same time, but I did leave a note on one of the benches. I'm sure she'll get it.
Good.
That like dog statue in Shibuya, you left the note that's like, "Hi, Rachel."
No, just a regular bench. Yeah, just a random bench. I just figured she'd be sitting there.
Is this becoming a requirement for people who work
pretty
at the
much,
to go
yeah.
to Japan?
Yeah.
Isn't it weird? Yeah, we both were surprised to hear that the other was going because this was like, well, for her now. You know, she's been a couple times. Mm-hmm. For me, it was a lifelong dream trip that my wife and I have always wanted to go. And I don't know if you know this about me. I don't speak the language.
Mm.
So
I wouldn't have guessed.
I don't speak Japanese. So knowing that, we waited till our friends were living there because a friend of mine is stationed there as a civilian worker on a military base. And they basically showed us around. It was awesome. So we didn't have to worry about any of the translation, figuring out the trains is crazy.
Yeah.
It's so tough.
Were you in the big cities and the countryside?
We were mostly in the city. So we wanted to see the countryside, but the city is so big that to get outside of it, you almost have to spend a day traveling
to get out
of the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But there's so many different little pockets that you can go to, and it's amazing. You know, she probably said this. Everybody is so polite, and they genuinely do have, you know, if you look like you're having a problem, somebody will walk up and just try to help.
Wow.
You may not be able to speak very well to figure that out.
Yeah.
But we had, you know, problems figuring out our train pass one time. Our friends were right next to us, and still two or three people stopped and tried to help us out.
You know where I found that to be true? The red light district in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Oh, they were helpful.
Yeah.
They just kept walking up.
Really?
Just in a different way.
Yeah. Anything I can help you with?
I always offer candy to those people, and they act like they don't want it. Like, they really want money. It's like, you don't like my Snickers? It's a fun size.
You don't like my Snickers. Leave it to Wiggins. So, Dave, I every day we're doing the same thing. Just like got to get through to the first day of fall to get through to the first day of fall, right?
Right. Yeah, just about. We have – it's quiet tonight, no problems, but it's kind of warm. 80s this evening, 70 for the low. Friday, I still think a couple of showers here and there in the morning on Friday, otherwise partly sunny, 92. Friday, probably the hottest day of the week. Quiet Friday night, Saturday, partly sunny, nothing more than a spot shower, but 90 degrees. Cool front coming in late Saturday night, scattered showers primarily after midnight. And that unsettled pattern takes us through the day on Sunday, kind of a mix of clouds and sunshine. Expect scattered showers around on Sunday, maybe a rumble of thunder, 84 degrees, and it looks like we're in the 70s all of next week.
Okay. Do you think it's going to kind of stay there once we get there?
No, probably not. And just a reminder, I will be live in studio with you guys a week from Friday.
Yep. Excellent.
Yeah, that's going to be a bunch of fun.
Yeah, we'll do something special.
That's like
good.
Ooh.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to have a catered or anything, but, you know.
I don't know if I thought you were going to say next. I was like, special, you say.
You want to do headlines?
I could do some headlines.
Headlines has been an adventure. He's taking it really seriously, and it's kind of off-putting.
Yeah, because this is Rachel's thing, right?
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of confidence with it, and I'm the first to admit that. And I was like, well, you know, I got a week and a half here. As time progresses, I will gain the confidence that I seek, as is, you know, theoretically the idea behind anything you do multiple times, your confidence should increase each time. I think my confidence maybe has gone down, right?
Why? You've been doing it. You've been good.
Oh, thank you. That's well, now I have confidence. Now you
it was
guys
just that
see,
easy.
It's going to be the best headlines you've ever seen in your whole life. Homeschool enrollment increases. Oh, I shouldn't have started with that one. See, this is what I'm talking about.
This is annoying already.
Yeah.
Homeschool.
Really lost me on that first headline.
Homeschool enrollment increases. New data says 90% of states that report homeschooling enrollment found increases in the 2024 academic year, despite assumptions that that would fizzle out after the pandemic. They thought it would drop back down to normal. There was a huge increase, and that is continuing to increase. Only two states that that have homeschooling data saw a decrease. That's New Hampshire and Vermont, because it's just too pretty to stay inside in Vermont. What do you guys think about that?
Have you been there in January?
I haven't. Is it cold?
No, it's fine. It's tropical. It's a tropical Vermont feel. Very different from upstate New York and New Hampshire.
When I think Vermont, I think tropical.
I wonder where my life would be had I been homeschooled, because either I would be a surgeon or a derelict.
And homeschooling is a lot different now than when you were a kid or even when I was a kid. Because there was a social stigma on it then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, there are so many, I mean, just Facebook alone, the fact that it exists makes it to where you can connect with so many people, and there's so many organizations and social clubs and stuff. It's just not the same as it used to be.
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise me at all to see that homeschooling has continued to go up. I mean, this is the kind of stuff we talk about, that people just don't trust the schooling systems to not be indoctrinating you, whether or not they are or not, because that doesn't mean that every single school is doing that stuff. It's that you see enough of it and you go, you know what? It just makes me hesitant to put my kids in a school where I'm not sure if they might pick something up that's different from my values, so I'm not going
to
do it.
What if you could send your kids to a school that is an excellent school, everybody gets into the Ivy League, but they're going to indoctrinate them into something, but you don't know what it is. It's kind of a surprise.
It could be anything. They could come back like really big fans of Dr. Pepper.
It's a Russian roulette of indoctrination.
Like, they're Zoroastrians, you know, you just don't know.
I like the idea. I still think it might push me to homeschool.
Okay.
Because taking the chance, that's the gamble. You don't want to take it.
But your wife could be indoctrinating while you're gone. You don't know this.
She could. Yeah, she could. You're right.
Little 9-year-old Rastafarian.
She's got that vibe about her.
Yeah. As long as it's something fun, like you said, like indoctrinating them into Dr. Pepper or something.
Yeah.
Like, let's have fun with this thing.
Yeah. Like, we only eat graham crackers, Dad.
Yeah.
Well, that's not great, but yeah, I'll take it. Giuliani pledges to track down the would-be assassins, I should say.
Giuliani's personally going to track?
Giuliani personally. Former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani promising to take down those going after Trump. He said at the top of his lungs, he screamed at the top of his lungs, I should say, saying, no more attacks, no more attacks, no more, stop it. He alluded to his days as the U.S. attorney, saying, "I'll find them. I did it to the mafia. I can do it to them. If you're behind it, I'm looking at you, and I'm going to get you."
I can't think of anyone I fear less than Rudy Giuliani.
Don't we already know who the assassins are?
I think
we
he's do. Preemptively yeah. going he's, after the next one.
Talk about future assassins.
Minority Report.
One of them is deceased and one of them is in custody.
A naked white Rudy Giuliani laying in that liquid just waiting to be given a message about the next would-be assassin.
What if that's all it took? If we have no more assassination attempts, I'm pinning that.
Dude, you can fill every pool with a Giuliani if it works.
Important reminder that the former mayor was actually disbarred in July.
But I didn't think he'd be doing it legally.
So, okay. You're thinking.
I'm not a Giuliani fan, but I hate that they did that to him.
Why?
He's been so kooky and all this stuff, but so what?
He was a lawyer. You can't be you don't want to be too kooky as a lawyer, right?
What's frightening is that this was a guy who really had the world in his hands. He was so good in New York in his time and what he did for the city and the area. And now it's like, what happened to you? What was the trigger? What really sent him over the edge?
I can tell you the moment. It's when that little drop of hair dye went down his face.
hear me out. That was post, Four Seasons, right? Because I feel like that might have been the beginning of the end.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, but I can't place it in a timeline.
I think the Four Seasons came first.
Yeah.
The Four Seasons presser, which was an all-time Giuliani moment. To be only topped by him in a bat suit diving off of the rooftops at Criminals.
I haven't seen this one.
Well, it's coming. It's coming.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's coming to the next would-be assassins. L.A. Romeo and Juliet accused of terrorizing weed dispensaries, because that's what romance is now. You're Romeo and Juliet if you rob dispensaries. A pair of young lovers facing charges after allegedly robbing cannabis dispensaries during a 6-week-long crime spree.
It's a long one.
They'd only been dating for a month before they took off on a string of heists of unlicensed weed shops. Unlicensed weed shops, obviously, they do not want to go to the police because they are not licensed.
Mm.
And so they would then have to reveal, hey, we were illegally selling drugs out of the back of our house, and these guys stole them.
How'd they get caught?
They got caught. Mendoza, the gentleman, the Romeo, crashed his BMW after a high-speed chase with the cops.
Man, love will make you do some crazy things, huh?
It really will.
We all remember that time in our lives.
But hey, you know what? You know, can't live with it, can't live without it. You know what I'm saying? I think they'll be fine. Those crazy kids, they'll be fine. Dave, have you seen the Oregon wildfires are shattering records?
No.
I have not seen that. Either, Dave.
I was talking to both Daves. have burned a record-breaking 1.9 million acres, which is the most ever damaged in Oregon history. Much of the Willamette Valley and the Portland metropolitan area have been fine, but enormous conflagrations ripping across central Oregon throughout this year's fire season, which typically heats up, no pun intended, in June and chills out, again, no pun intended, by October.
So, Dave, when we have these wildfires, obviously it's a bad thing if your home is in the way of one or if a person is injured or killed. But from a nature standpoint, is it usually a good thing to burn the ground stuff out?
Yeah, yes, it is. And there are controlled fires, probably not as much as we used to do back in the 70s, because that we just stopped doing that for a number of reasons. Economics was one of them. So the forests have just grown and grown and grown, a lot of old growth. There's also a pine beetle that is really destroying the pines in Northern California and through the Pacific Northwest. And so there's a lot of dead trees, a lot of fuel, just a lot of fuel.
Yeah, makes sense. One more?
Sure. One more. This one's kind of fun. A Kentucky lawmaker drives lawnmower into empty swimming pool. Kentucky lawmaker, he was critically injured when the lawnmower he was riding fell into an empty swimming pool. He's making good progress in his recovery. He was able to sit upright and communicate on Tuesday and continue to prove on Wednesday. That's not funny like I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a little more madcap because I skimmed the story earlier and the
what
pictures.
A zany story.
Well, I skimmed the story earlier and the pictures were like, it was like a stock photo of a guy going like, whoa, I didn't think it'd start with critically injured and able to sit upright and communicate, but he's doing fine. He's coming back. He's from Harlan County, Kentucky. Shout out to Justified. And he was injured Sunday. He drove his mower into the deep end of the pool at his home. No details were provided as to why he would have driven literally off the deep end.
It's a hilarious story.
Pretty the cut up.
Gonna tell that to all my friends tonight.
Yeah. Just claim it as your own, Dave.
Pretty good.
Listen, I got a real zinger.
And then get this. He can sit up and speak on his own.
Get this. It's okay to laugh, though, because he can sit up on his own of his own power.
Woo! Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right.
Make up your mind. Decide to walk with me around the lake tonight. Around the lake tonight by my side.
3:54 brought to you by Fire Capital Management. Wig, what's going down over at 97.1 these days?
I don't know if you've heard. There's a big election coming up.
I heard some about it.
Yeah, there's two major candidates, mm-hmm. Democrat and a Republican. We tend to feel that the Republican might be the better choice.
How's the dialogue? Is the dialogue now that Kamala has had this resurgence? Are people calling you and saying like, aha, see, she's going to beat you? Or is it still mostly conservatives for conservatives?
You know, we always have a contingency of Democrats. It's just like Fox News. They say that one of the biggest blocks of viewership that Fox News has is liberals.
Mm-hmm.
We always have that too, mm-hmm. You know, somewhere around 15% of probably who's listening at any given time is Democrats. I wouldn't say that there definitely was a renewed enthusiasm after she became the candidate because yeah. Everybody knew it was dead man walking before that. It's coming back to earth though. They had their high. The DNC was I think where it kind of peaked out. And now I watch polling like crazy. So that's just my thing. And you're seeing it really even back out. And you'd say, well, and even polling usually means that you don't know who it's going to be. The only problem is with Donald Trump, you have so much data from two past elections already that he's always the underdog and he overperforms polls. So if you think that's still happening, he's the favorite right now.
I'll show you my